Welcome to episode 28 of season 9 of Over a Minute, the Daily Podcast, where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the final two Die Hard movies, Die Hard 4 and 5, 5 minutes at a time. I'm Rob, and join me once again to try and make our way through this terrible Die Hard movie is Jay Kluet. Maybe this is a good day. All right, what do you think, Jay?
No, it's maybe better. I don't know. We'll see. It's a day two. We do things differently here.
Okay, could be. So episode 28 begins with the director's credit lingering, and ends with John trying to decide what to say. So I just find it really interesting that the director's credit is exactly at the 5 minute mark, and it really stays on screen longer than you would expect it to. Again,
is that the case in the theatrical version and the director's cut, or did he add a few more seconds to the director's cut?
That is a great question that I do not know the answer to, because I didn't pay attention to how long that actually lingers. But
John Moore would be like, I just feel like I didn't get quite enough credit first time around. Let's just extend that frame a few times. Let's just put it back in there. Just a couple beats. With a nice Sonic accent.
It's definitely a possibility. Now you've gotten me very curious. You know what? I have a feeling that it might be a little longer, because in the theatrical cut, it is for a total of like 2.5 seconds. So it is very possible, because it feels here
such
that it's
a specific
longer.
Request.
just have it play out a little bit longer. That's a very, very interesting well, come on, how often do you get your name in a Die Hard a movie with the name Die Hard?
Nothing against the guy. I can fully understand, like, I made this film, let's go see this film, and like seeing it on the big screen, and like, by John Moore, and then it's gone. Like, wait a minute. I'm gonna change this. I need to come up with some other changes to make to the film, just to make it worthwhile. To put my name in longer. It was the only reason he wanted to do a director's cut, was to have his credit on screen a little bit longer.
I don't know. It's definitely very, very possible. Yes, it is longer. He gives himself another extra second or two.
Right.
But another. Again, that's.
John Moore, all power to you. Well done.
That's the way it seems. Again, I'm not an expert, and I haven't, actually, I probably should like play both of them at the same time, one on top of the other, and see if it.
I did that with a DVD and a Blu-ray of Deep Blue Sea once. Fun time. That's how I spent one afternoon.
You spent the entire afternoon doing it that way. Okay.
Yeah, why not? These days, I could, if I wanted to, play 4 different copies of Deep Blue Sea at the same time, because that's how many I own.
Oh,
wow. So far. Good. Still only one each of Deep Blue Sea 2 and 3, though.
I still, even watching them back-to-back, it seems as if it lingers a little bit longer in the theatrical cut. A little longer in the... in the director's cut.
Okay, great.
It looks that way, but again, I could be wrong. This is, I didn't do this scientifically. So, you can't really take me 100% on my word for that one.
I'm going to fall on the side of the director wanted to be have their name in it longer. Fall on the side of pride.
It definitely looks as if it is a little bit longer in there. Yeah. It's possible. I'm sure I'm gonna get hate mail from John Moore about this. What are you talking about?
Maybe he'll come on the show. That would be great. Come, John Moore, come defend yourself.
Please. I would love to talk to you. If you're interested. So we ended things yesterday with the director's credit. No, we ended things yesterday with Jack shooting Anton in the nightclub and getting tackled. And That's pretty much all that we had there. And today, we continue and we are shown a whole bunch of bullet holes, which I gotta say is a very clever way to introduce any character, let alone John McClane.
Yeah, going from it, you can start with a black screen. That's good.
Exactly. So, yeah. It looks like it's a black screen and it's getting shot into, and we see that John is in a
shooting range.
Shooting range. It's it looks like it's almost 11 o'clock in the morning. There's a fan going on in the background. We see that this is taking place in or around 2012, 2013, because we have a picture of Barack Obama in the back as the of the president. And then someone enters the room.
Amarin Lasco.
That's right. Are you familiar with him?
He's Sucre from Prison Break.
That's right.
Whenever I see him, oh, it's Sucre from Prison Break. He's been in a bunch of stuff, but he's always going to be Sucre from Prison Break.
That's right.
I love Prison Break.
Yes. I only like the first season. After that,
I season two, William Fichtner comes in.
Yes,
and season three goes nuts. Season three, they go back into prison.
But you see, that's the thing. It's just too much. It was too much for me.
It's such a silly show, but I love it so much.
Yes,
it's such nonsense.
But did you feel that the first season was also nonsense?
The first season is the best season, but it's still ridiculous.
Well, it goes back to what we were talking about yesterday with chess. You know, someone really planned every chess move out.
Yeah, and then tattooed it on their body.
Yeah.
And then had some of it burned off by a pipe. Sure. I think I've seen that first season too many times. I enjoyed it a great deal.
Yeah.
And here's Sucre. He's still going.
Yes. So, I mean, he has 63 credits as an actor on IMDb. According to IMDb, he's in a TV series now called Hightown, where he's been in 25 episodes so far, along with another show called Land of Women, which not familiar. Looking through his filmography, there isn't really much here that I can say okay, I'm familiar with, besides Prison Break. That's
He's in the first Transformers as well, I think.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Small part in the and he's also in a Good Day to Die Hard. You can find him there.
So I'm told. And when she plays Murph, my dog was named after him.
Exactly. There's a character named Murphy, which he does not look like a Murphy, but okay.
He sure doesn't.
He's
in Too Fast, Too Furious as well with Cole Hauser. Cole Hauser's in a different Fast and Furious. He's in Too Fast. Yeah, he's in Too Fast. Sorry. That's Mark. That's Mark's favorite of the franchise because he loves Carter Verone, the Cole Hauser character. So this film is a Too Fast, Too Furious reunion.
There you go.
Of two characters who never see each other.
No, exactly, the characters never see each other. That's a little bit of a problem. So, so Murph shows up in the shooting range. And it looks like a very makeshift shooting range. I know you've told me that you've never shot a gun, but...
That's not true. I have been to a shooting range. I don't like guns. I've been to one. A friend of mine had a birthday at a shooting range, and I went and shot a couple of guns and was bad at it and didn't see the appeal.
Okay. No, but it looks here as if this doesn't look like a very safe place to be shooting.
No.
It looks like it's just it looks like it's an office. Yeah, you have the Chinese food in the background with all the cartons of food there.
Yeah, there's not a lot of like noise protection. There's no ear defenders being worn. There's not a lot of safety precautions put in place. It just feels like I watched that. That's John McClane's shooting range.
There is
don't go in there.
Saying that caution, ear protection required in this area. You know that's so when you're eating your Chinese takeout, you need to make sure to have your ear protection on. Yeah, it's a little strange. Definitely a bit stranger. But okay, so then he goes, McClane. He goes, "Hey Murph, how you doing?" He looks at the target and goes, "Nice grouping, Grandpa." He goes, "Yeah, not bad." And he hands him a file and he goes, "Is that it?" He goes, "Yep." We found him. It's not good, John. Hospital or morgue? Worse.
Worse. Let's just dwell on that for a minute, shall we? Is my kid like injured or dead? Is like it's worse than either of those options. Worse than dead in a Russian prison.
Yeah, it's a little again, this goes along with what we were talking yesterday about the dialogue here. You know, that something is a little off with this whole conversation that the two of them are having.
Well, I mean, would it, so would it be worse? Would John McClane think it is worse? Because he's a cop. He's a good guy. In air quotes. He believes in right or wrong and the justice system. Would he think it worse if his son was a criminal in prison? Is that worse than being dead for him?
Maybe.
That's the benefit of the doubt I'm going to give this one.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, we'll get there because there is dialogue not in this version of the film that we'll talk about that will be brought, that will talk a little bit about John's connection to Jack. You know, but
okay.
You know, hang on for that. Hang on for that.
Okay.
Then Murphy asks him. He goes, "When was the last time you spoke to this kid?" To this kid, he doesn't even say to your kid. To this kid, you know, which he goes, "It's been a while, maybe a few years even." John has no idea when the last time he talked to his son was. Maybe a few years.
You know, we find out later it's been 3 years, I think, or Jack's been in Russia for 3 years.
But again, it's maybe a few years.
Feels like something he should know.
Yeah. Last time I saw him, it was pretty ugly. Well, there's a few different versions in there, but my people are pretty sure he's being held in a Moscow prison. And we get a quick glance at the file as they're talking here. And did you happen to see the date that is written that we get to see?
I did not.
Okay. So, you know, it shows us that it's the 21st of September 2012 is when he was apparently, I guess, again, I don't read Russian. And it just says arrest report is the only thing we see in English on the entire thing. But we can see that something happened on the 21st of September 2012, which my assumption is that's the day that Jack shot. Anton.
Yeah.
So again, sense. This is taking place. You know, we know that this movie came out on Valentine's Day 2013. So, you know, just a few months beforehand. We don't know how long the process takes in, you know, in Russia for the whole thing. Because he goes, he's awaiting sentencing. He goes, what's he charged with? He goes, it's a nasty sheet. He'll be lucky to get life. He can never get.
Here we get. We get Bruce Willis's his secret weapon. Not a secret. He is the best at holding a sideways glance that I've seen of anyone in any film ever. He's got that kind of cynical, kind of disbelieving little arched eyebrow going. He doesn't move. He's just staring at Murph until Murph breaks and gives him more information.
That's right.
What doesn't stay still is the goddamn camera.
That's right.
the camera cannot stop bobbing and weaving and moving around. John Moore, buy a damn tripod, please. Just buy a tripod, or put it on a desk.
Well, again,
step away from the camera.
Do you credit John Moore with that, or are we gonna? You know, say that the problem here is the DP, Jonathan Sella.
Well, if I'm gonna blame John Moore, because if he's the director and he sees this footage being shot, he needs to be like, "Hey, DP, stop moving." Yeah, but just he's the director. He's overall, it's his vision. Like, yeah, you're gonna use the people that make the film and their talents and their input, but. You've got two people having a chat. One of them is giving a real, like, hard stare at the other. Keep the camera still. Just, it's unbearable. I can't, I, it's, All I can look at, all I can see is this camera go, way, over it, wee.
Yeah. So Jonathan Cella has, he's a cinematographer on 57 movies, including The Fall Guy, Bullet Train, The Lost City, Hobbs and Shaw, Deadpool 2, Transformers of the Last Night, Atomic Blonde. I mean, he's actually has some. He was the DP on John Wick.
Okay.
John Wick is the movie he did right after this one. So apparently, someone
That a
saw
better film.
someone saw something in him.
Yeah.
He also was DP on Max Payne, so it could be that John Moore brought him in.
Skip Woods.
And The Omen. There you go. Okay, so this is yeah he. He
Yeah.
was John
He's
Moore's guy.
John Moore's guy. And then he broke off and ran away. Good for him.
That's right. And yeah, I mean, he's done some pretty fun action movies. So you
And
got
a good day to die
and a good day to die.
hard.
Exactly. And at this point, John continues. Confessing a little bit though about his relationship with Jack, and he goes, he can never get out of his own way. He has a lot of problems, but he's still my kid. He goes, I know, but it's Russia. They do things differently over there. And then John goes, me
Me
too.
too.
And then he chuckles.
How many
He goes,
times has he been to Russia? What evidence does he have to prove
that's right.
this?
And then he goes, good luck, Poppy. He goes, thanks, kid. And then John goes back over to the to where he picks up his gun. You know,
So
he
some anger management. This is
yeah.
John's rage room.
Yeah, but the funny thing is that we do see a few seconds of him putting a new clip in, and then he just takes the gun and just shoots, and you hit he gets everything in the head on the target. And he starts screaming, God damn you, God damn it, and then throws down the gun. So yeah,
Yeah, that's how he deals with it. That's it. That's his therapy.
that's right.
He's now fine.
Well, we know that John McClane therapy is shooting bad guys. So, let's pretend that we're shooting a bad guy right now while you're angry. But I can sort of give him, I sort of understand that.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
And at this point, then the scene changes after John turns around and starts walking away, and holds himself
I have
up
a problem with this.
on the table, I guess. Maybe he's thinking about that Chinese food.
Maybe. But so we then cut to this is filmmaking where the filmmakers don't like their audience, don't trust their audience to understand what's going on. Because we get a very brief shot of a car pulling up to an airport, John McClane talking to somebody off screen. Because I don't think Emery Nolasco is sat in that seat. Gets out, heads into the airport, and then an establishing shot of a plane, and then we see John on a plane. We don't need any of that. You don't need to see John arrive at the airport, go into the airport, shot of a plane. You can just have the shot of a plane, and he's there. No one's thinking like, oh, how did he get here?
Right.
Like, he was just in a police station shooting range. Now he's on a plane.
Well, even more,
What happened?
you didn't mention about the fact that you hear on the PA, it says, welcome to JFK International Airport. So they're not even telling
Don't need it. He's just been told his son's in Russia. Cut to a plane. We know what's going on.
That's right.
Like,
And then,
it's infuriating.
right, the conversation he has with Murphy is pretty funny also. He goes, thanks, kid. And he goes, McClane, good luck. And he goes, see you soon. And that's it.
They're like, don't let me leave, Murph. Don't let me leave.
Right. Okay, so
That's
this scene
Interstellar.
is actually very different in the theatrical version. So I'm not even gonna do it as a separate segment. I'll just talk about it as things change. So first of all, they in the theatrical version, they cut out the whole part of John shooting after Murph leaves the room. Meaning Murph leaves the room, the next shot is of John at the airport.
Oh,
Okay.
I love the rage shooting. That's a great thing to keep believing.
But they added it in. There you go.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good change.
Yes. Okay, so The thing is that in the theatrical version, John has a conversation with Lucy, who's the one who took him to the airport.
I knew it. I thought I remembered that.
Right. Okay. So I'm gonna. They have it's an exactly 1 minute addition here.
Okay.
Which, you know, goes basically. They took out the. It didn't really change the timing of the movie, because of the fact they took out the shooting range rage, and then cut out the few seconds with Murph. But somehow it all still fits in, and So Lucy says, "Dad, I wish you would just let me go with you. You would never be able to resist the urge to tell me what to do all the time. This isn't your fault, you know. I just hope that he'd figure his life out. I got you." And then, you know, she says to him, "I got you something." And she gives him a present. He opens it up, and it's a book that says the Idiot's Travel Guide to Moscow. And he goes,
yes, "Idiot's Travel Guide." I remember that.
Perfect. He goes, "Thank you, babe. I love you. I love you too."
Oh. I don't love him calling his daughter babe.
Yeah. Okay. And then see you soon. And then as he's starting to get out, he goes, "Dad, just try. Try not to make an even bigger mess of things. Good luck. I love you. See you soon." Again, it's not necessary.
Yeah.
I understand why they cut it in the director's cut. I'm a little upset that they cut her out of this entire movie. But this really was just completely extraneous. You know, we talked a lot about the fact that Mary Elizabeth Winstead is okay in Die Hard 4, but she just is the damsel in distress through most of the movie. You know, she doesn't really stand on her own with anything until she, you know, she doesn't even shoot Gabriel at the end. She shoots Emerson in the foot. That's the limit of what she's able to do there. So.
Yeah, it's a shame. Yeah. But, you know, they cut her out of the film, but she's still fourth build.
That's right.
So.
But not in this version.
She was in the opening credits.
They still put her in the opening credits even though she's not in the movie?
I think so. I'm just scrolling to the end credits now just to see. Yeah, she's still fourth build in the closing credits.
Interesting. Okay, so maybe she's in the opening credits also. Interesting. I see. I don't even know how that works. Are you supposed to still credit someone if they're on the cutting room floor, or only if they're in the movie itself? Because basically, we had Bruce Willis, then Jai Courtney, then Sebastian Koch.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. I don't think she's in the opening credits.
And then Julia Snyder. And then Rasha Bukovic. No, she's not in this version. She's not there. But she's
still in the closing credits. So yeah,
that's really interesting. Like again, I don't know how that really works. From a contractual aspect, who's supposed to be there and who's not. But you're right. They didn't cut that. They cut her out of the beginning, but they didn't cut her out of the end credits. Interesting.
Well, she still gets paid even if she's cut out.
Right.
I think Rick Mayall kept on receiving royalty checks from the first two Harry Potter films, despite being cut out as Peeves.
Okay. Makes sense. And not only, I mean, you talked about the fact that they could have just shown him in Russia moments later, but they actually even have to show us that he's taking in a Russian air. You know, he's going on a Russian airline. His Aeroflot.
Yeah, I don't mind them having the shot on the plane, having like an establishing shot of a plane, because you're seeing that he's traveling and he's using this time to look at the report a bit more.
Right.
It's generally just that shot at the airport that I find infuriating, because they had to set that whole shot up as a whole other location. it's extras. There's people's time. Like, there's a whole new location for nothing.
Right.
For not a thing.
Exactly. Banks Kid and McLean, good luck. Because of the fact that, I guess the real scene was what was, what was filmed with Lucy.
Lucy, yeah. Which now thinking about that, maybe that was we want to get Mary Elizabeth Winstead in this film somewhere, so that's where she can be. She's not going to show up at the end in a helicopter, as great as that would be. So maybe that's why they had that.
I'm trying
Then
to
why
see
not
if it's
just make
any part.
her the Sucre character? Like says, hey, don't have that at the police station. Have that at home, and she's found out that. Well, I don't know, just if you want to have her in it. No offense, Emery and Alaska. People aren't going to see Die Hard 4.5 because you're in it. They might go and see it because she's in it.
Right. Well, let's put it this
Anyway.
way. It's the exact same car. So
Yeah, great. That makes sense.
they do a great job of just not showing us
The driver.
who the driver is. Yeah, it's the same shot, and you even see the reflection of Aeroflot, on the car, and on in both versions.
Okay. Oh.
And you also see the soldier in the background and the guy getting out of the taxi in the background. Again, it's the exact same shot. So again, they for some reason, whoever made the decision, to loop in Murph's dialogue, they just
Maybe people
looped it
complained
in.
that Lucy wasn't in it, like, because she's in that scene. People thought, oh, she's going to come back at the end. And she didn't. So they decided to, I don't know, get rid of that.
It's possible.
Who knows? Who knows?
I don't know
So, yeah.
if I don't know. Again, I remember that she's in the movie more, not just
Yeah.
in the. I think that there's like a phone call with her or something like that.
I don't know. I can't remember.
No. Well, when we get there, we'll figure that out.
Yeah.
Who knows? There isn't anything that we can really do to change that, and I'm glad that they took the hint that they got to stop making these Die Hard movies because something wouldn't have been very good. Oh well, that's the way they decided to do it. But then we get a shot of John on the plane as he's doing his detecting work to try and figure out information about Jack. And again, as I mentioned before, it's all in Russian, but there's still some stuff that you can figure out, like dates. So did you notice any dates in the among the Russian information that's written in this dossier or whatever
I
dossier?
didn't look for them. I just kind of thought, ah, Russian, then moved on. So if you get anything important, you pick up on.
Right.
Well,
Well, first
actually,
of
looking at
all,
now, we got his birthday is ninth of September 15th, 1984.
that is correct. He had his birthday.
Is yeah.
Also, it says Jack Gennaro,
Sure.
which obviously makes sense also, because why would it say McLean? That doesn't make any sense. So yes, it has his birthday. So do you know who else was born? So the birthday is September 15th, 1984. Do you know who else was born on September 15th, 1984?
We don't. I know who was born on September 12th, 1989. That's my wife. But that's a different day and different year, so just the same month.
Yes, five years later and
Irrelevant.
continuing.
Yeah.
Jack Gennaro McLean is 5 years and minus 3 days older than your wife. There you go. Something
I'll let
be
her know.
very happy about. Yes. Prince Harry was born on that day.
Oh, sure. Okay.
The Duke of Sussex, the fifth in British succession, was born in London, England on that very day. He is currently 40 years old, so apparently that means Jack is also 40 years old as of today, even though
Sure. Yeah.
in the time of the movie that happened before. There was a famous English cricketer. I don't know if you're a cricket fan or not, who died on that day. Someone
Okay.
named Jack Aitken.
Not someone I'm familiar with.
All right. I'm not familiar with any cricketer, so I couldn't tell you that.
I know very few. And I certainly know dead ones.
Yes. And the number one songs in on the music charts that day was Tina Turner's What's Love Got to Do with It and Stevie Wonder's I Just Called to Say I Love You.
Sure.
So you see, you got love in both of those, so it fits in with Valentine's Day. There you go.
Absolutely. There's yeah. That's, it's all connected.
Now we know why they did that. So there are two other dates that are listed here, which don't, again, because it's all in Russian, I have absolutely no idea what is being referred to. We have the 3rd of February 2008, and then the 3rd of the month of 30, 2012. Okay.
Are you sure it's not the 30th of the month of 3?
That's what it should say, but that's that's a slight discrepancy here because, again, in America, that's the only place where they switch them around. But why would
maybe
they...
the report is American?
But it's in Russian.
But maybe an American wrote it.
I don't know. It's the State Department arrest report that is entirely written in Russian.
I know they do things differently in Russia, but they don't have 30 months.
Yes, I'm more. Okay. But that's why I thought it was very funny. You know, this again is most people are not looking at these little things. As I said, we have to find what's fun about this movie. And I like the fact that they made a mistake on the dossier that we're able to actually figure it out. That, something happened on March 30th, 2012, which, again, I don't know what happened then. Maybe that's when he came.
So,
something happened on February 3rd, 2008. You know, like, is one of those that he arrived in Russia?
This is definitely a screw up because in that block of text where you have 3/30/2012, you also have 15/9/1984.
That's right.
Like four lines up. So yeah, either there's 30 months or there's 15. And then the 3/2/2008, is that which one is that supposed to be? There's no way of knowing.
That is correct. Is it the 3rd of February or is it March?
The 2nd of March.
I don't
know.
It's
madness.
Yes.
It's March madness.
But that's why I love going through these. You know, we talked, the first half of this season, you know, about all the discrepancies we found on the screens in A Good Day to Die Hard 4.0. Oh. You know, they screwed up there too with a lot of things. You know, because they didn't expect someone to be that crazy to actually go through these movies,
a second time, let alone 5 minutes at a time.
Who knows?
No one's gonna watch this film again, surely not.
That's right. Well, again, we're just having fun going through this movie again. That's the point.
Yes.
Right. So again, he's looking through the whole thing, trying to figure something out. I don't know what John really figures out from reading it because John probably also doesn't understand Russian. So it would be a little strange.
When he leans back and closes his eyes, he's probably thinking, oh, the dates. The dates are all wrong. I can't even.
That's right.
I can't look at this report anymore. The dates.
He's like, how is it possible they have 30 months in Russia? I don't know.
Or 15. I don't know.
That's right. I don't know. Yeah, but again, we get a nice shot of Jack. We can see how tall he's supposed to be, and then we see that the woman in the seat next to John is fast asleep with blinders on, to make sure that she doesn't have to worry about John McClane.
She's dead tired.
That's right.
That's
Commando. That's Commando.
Commando. That's the one. Yeah.
Don't bug my friend. He's dead tired.
He's dead. Yeah.
That's right. But we're not gonna try and find Sully again, because you don't want John to break his promises, just like John Matrix needs.
Let off some steam.
A different John. That's right. I love that movie. It's
John
such M. A fun. It's such a fun movie, but it's so stupid. Right, so John falls asleep, and then we transition to someone's fingers that looks like he's in a praying mode, but probably not. And hey, look, it's Jack.
It's Jack.
It's Jack. Hi, Jack. And
Doesn't look happy.
No, he does not. I don't know why.
Having a bad day.
Why does he not look happy?
He's in a Russian prison.
That's right. And then we see a guy in a suit show up and enter the room. You know, as Jack is looking around, and then the guy throws on the desk another dossier, probably Jack's, but you never know. And then he takes his time sitting down in the chair. He takes his time taking out a lighter, you know, lights up a cigarette. This is probably entirely to try and jolt Jack a little bit. You know, like, you want a cigarette, don't you? You know, that's the way I see it. That he's doing.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Well, he's in control of the conversation because he's taking his time. Yeah.
And then the Russian guy says, I was told you had something to offer me. He goes, you're looking for evidence against Yuri Komarov. Perhaps. Put me in the courtroom with him, and I'll testify that Komarov hired me to murder Anton. Did he? I'll testify under oath. That's good enough, isn't it? So, again, it goes back to the fact that none of this is making any sense. You know, we don't know who Anton was. We don't know how he's connected to Yuri Komarov. You know, we do know that Anton is dead. That's the only information that we can confirm here at this point.
He is dead. The other guy's in prison.
Yes.
Jack shot Anton. Yeah.
That's right. And Jack is willing to testify under oath that he was hired by Yuri. That's it.
And I do not care.
No, not for one second.
not a little bit.
Nope. Nope. Not at all. Yeah, this just isn't engaging at all.
Yeah.
And then the two of them just like stare at each other for a little while. You know, that's like the most tension that we have here. Okay, stare at one another.
Yes, already.
Maybe that's what they're trying to do. I don't know. Absolutely no clue what they're trying to tell us here. Because if I remember correctly, this investigator doesn't appear again in the movie. So it's not as if...
There's a lot of that going on in this film.
Yes. Yes, it is. And then the scene changes, and we get to see the beautiful Moscow traffic from above. That's about it. And
that's about it.
And then the camera zooms in like really fast into
cars. See, it's cars.
That's right. Now I don't even know which. You know, you see like one yellow car that maybe is a taxi.
Yeah, who knows?
And we hear, music. We hear someone just talking, but we have no idea what's being said on the radio. Even in, you know, with the subtitles, it doesn't even tell us. At this point, even the subtitles don't care. Yeah, like, let them just chatter on.
It doesn't matter. Just you don't want to know what they're saying. It's not important.
That's right. And then we see John looking down at a piece of paper that he filled out a whole bunch of clues. Jack with two question marks, and then he has like a smiley face with the hearts. Again, you need to make this Valentine's Day friendly. Arrested Moscow District ? 17th. Which precinct? 007. Maybe he's a spy. Arbat, lawyer. A whole bunch of numbers. Something about Murph's something. Russian G. Charges, murder. I think it says embassy. And then a whole bunch of Russian names. Skolichik, Yevgeny, Ivanov, something. It makes this makes even less sense. You know, this is, John may be a good detective, but he doesn't have his clues,
it's organized. Yeah.
Yeah, but at least he doodles.
Yeah, sure.
That's what's important. And you know, absolutely no idea what the. And then John keeps looking, and we see it says Detective Baranski and Dragunsky Courthouse on the 21st. That's all at 9 a.m. So again, this can't be Valentine's Day itself. You know, we don't know at this point what month this is, but who knows? And then John tries to start talking in Russian. And
this is great.
Did you notice book he has in his hand?
No, I just really enjoyed the 7 second run up of him trying to trying to build up the confidence to form his mouth around the start of a word. But I see now he's got the Idiot's Guide to Russia that Lucy would have given him.
Guide to Moscow, which Lucy had given him. So it's pretty funny that they continued with that joke, but nobody gets that joke if they didn't know that Lucy had given it to him.
It's such a good just like physical acting from Bruce Willis, like building up to trying to speak Russian. It's really well done.
That's right. And as he's trying to get up the confidence to say something, the minute ends. As he's trying to get the confidence to say something, the segment of 5 minutes.
I mean, the minute does end as well. It is the end of a minute. It's totally true.
It does end, but this is we've made it through 10 minutes of this movie. Only another hour and a half.
Great.
Exactly. Okay, did you have anything else you want to say about this segment?
I did not. I think I mentioned the lack of a tripod. That was my main note.
Okay. All right, so once again, we will play State Your Motto. So this time you get the state of Oregon. Are you familiar where Oregon is?
It's like next to parsley, I think. I know it's in America somewhere. It sounds like oregano. It's like a herb.
I understood exactly what you were joking about.
I was trying to think of where it would be alphabetically as well.
It's
oregano.
In America, it's oregano, but that's fine.
Because when you go in the supermarket here, they list all of the, well, they display the herbs alphabetically. So I think oregano would be next to the parsley. I couldn't think of one that would be between the two.
Oh, okay, that's fair.
I thought about it.
I'm glad you had those few seconds to think about it. So the state of Oregon is sandwiched in between Washington State and California. So it's literally on the West Coast.
Okay. Sure, makes sense.
Okay. So your three choices are hard work conquers all things, she flies with her wings, and with God, all things are possible.
I don't like any of them. Give me another one. She fly
but the
flying
is
one.
One of these three.
None of these are speaking to me, as to them being options. I don't know where Amelia Earhart is from, so I can't say. Oh yeah, that would be the flying one then. Like I can already feel them all just drifting away, word by word. So I'm going to say the hard work one. That's a phrase I can remember as being in one of these.
No, so you're talking about hard work conquers all things, but no, that
sure,
is not.
That one.
The answer is actually she flies with her wings.
Oh, great. Is that where Amelia Earhart is from? Has that got anything to do with it?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, good.
I don't. No. that doesn't really fit in there.
Oh, she's from Kansas. Okay, fine.
Right. Okay. So, well, again, it's from the Latin phrase alis volat proprius.
Cool.
And it's the here. The official English version of the motto is she flies with her own wings, in keeping with the tradition of considering countries and territories to be feminine. However, because the feminine pronoun in the Latin sentences is often omitted and the verb form is not inflected for gender, the phrase could be translated with equal validity as one flies with one's own wings. The motto was written in English by the judge Jesse Quinn Thornton, and his Latin translation was added to the territorial seal adopted by the Oregon territorial legislature in 1854. And the motto referred to the May 2nd, 1843 vote by Oregon country settlers to form a provisional government independent of the U.S. and Britain. And during the American Civil War between 1861 and 65, the motto of the state seal was changed to the Union. In 1957, the Oregon legislature officially changed the motto to the Union, reflecting conflicting views about slavery in Oregon's early days. In 1987, they readopted the original motto, which it felt better reflected Oregon's independent spirit. In 1999, they once again took a vote in order to revert back to the motto of the Union, and it failed to pass because it had a 30-30 tie vote. So you see, it's a very controversial state motto.
Sure.
Apparently, there is a Captain Marvel trade paperback that is called Alice Valat Proprius. So you see, Return of the
Mariner. Well, she is a pilot. So,
that's
yeah.
Right. So there you go. Yeah. So, yes, that's apparently, in House of Dragons, they have a ring that's named She Flies With Her Own Wings. So there you go.
They have dragons and they fly. That makes sense.
Of course. And they're feminine. They're feminine.
What else would they fly with? Yeah.
Apparently. Okay. So, Jay, would you like to once again tell everyone where they can find Jay Clewitt when he's not talking about a really, really bad Die Hard movie?
Deep Blue Sea, the podcast, where you can hear me talk about at least one other Die Hard film, because Die Hard 2 was directed by Rennie Harlan, so we did an episode on that. We talk about all things Deep Blue Sea, Sharp movies, Rennie Harlan films, etc. And lifevsfilm.com is my personal blog.
All right, and finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on my website, moviearoundminute.com. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. And if you feel like sending me an email, you can send it to moviearoundminute@movierob.net. So, Jay, do you feel the urge to come back and suffer through another 5 minutes of this movie tomorrow?
I mean, tomorrow has the film's best character. So, yes, I'll come back for tomorrow.
Okay. So, until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay!
Yippee-ki-yay!
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Oh, they're red, white, and blue, yeah. But it ain't me. It ain't me. I ain't no fortunate one.